We're joined in the media center by a top fuel winner, Blake Alexander. First career win. Just run us through the emotions of winning that first race.
Oh, yeah. It felt really good, obviously. And then got a little emotional just because I tried to do this my whole life and, you know, come close and lost sponsors, thought I was never going to drive the car again, and basically just, like, have gone through everything to climb back to the top. So, felt good.
Obviously a little bit different kind of weekend with only two qualifying sessions and all that. So run us through kind of the team's thought process with, one, not knowing how many runs you get through qualifying, two, entering today with only two sets of data.
Yeah, we just were trying to be ready throughout the qualifying sequences. And also today we were trying to improve on the mistakes that we made and just kind of find, you know, come over everything with a fine come or whatever. I don't know. Just we had to fix everything because we qualified 12th. So.
When you say you got emotional, I mean, what's emotional to you? Were you shaking? Were you crying?
I was holding back tears, which is not that cool, I guess, when you drive race cars 300 miles an hour. But my path is like a little bit different, and it's a scenic path that I enjoy thoroughly. On, you know, whether I'm here or not, working, trying to make things happen so that I can come out here. And I have a great team owner who kind of took a chance on me, Bob Vandergriff, and he just felt good to reward him.
Can you talk a little bit about the racing surface? I mean, it's all concrete. They spent a lot of money. Yeah, how nice is it out there?
It's smooth, yeah, down track. The wind was blowing today, so that affected you a little bit. But other than that, it was pristine. And it took us a little while. Like, I don't run all the races, so it took us a little while to adjust to the new track prep and take advantage of opportunities when they presented themselves. But we kind of backed into it. We didn't try to go over center and get aggressive on it, and it's paid dividends, actually, just because we have made fewer mistakes than people when we compete.
At what point were you like, hey, we got a car here? I mean, was it when you beat Tony and you're like...
I've had a car before and lost and been in all types of different situations and didn't capitalize, so I was trying to make sure that we did that today, and we never got ahead of ourselves, never thought about the next steps. And I think when I was in the final in Atlanta, I was picturing winning more than I was actually ready to take hold of the opportunity and be the person who won the race.
A couple of races ago on TV, I think I heard you say that you didn't really like being referred to as a part-time team. It was kind of a little demeaning. Do you feel like now you guys will get the respect you deserve?
Well, I just think people call us an underdog all the time, and we may not be, you know, if you compare us to a five-car team or whatever, I think that we have a really great crew that it's opportunistic for us that we don't run all the races. Some of the greatest crew guys in the United States decide to come work for us in their time away from their families, and we just, you know, I really appreciate everything they do, because without them, obviously, none of this is possible.
Charlotte, North Carolina, correct?
Yes, sir.
You live in the world of NASCAR.
Yeah, I do.
Okay, so what's going to happen when you go home with the Wally? Because you've got to have some NASCAR friends, I'm sure.
Yeah, I have people that work in, like, the sponsorship and marketing side, and my wife's family has a lake house near some NASCAR drivers, but for the most part, we're separate, and I live down near the city, and they live in mansions on the lake, so and have jets, and I flew here on Southwest, not a private jet, so.
Why did you choose the drag racing versus stock car racing?
I was born out in Southern California in the epicenter of drag racing, and my family did it, built their own cars in their house in California and Inglewood and Laverne, and then moved to, you know, my dad doing it after my granddad did it, and then I remember being at Frank Holly's drag racing school when I was a little kid while my granddad worked there, and it wasn't much of a choice at all, to be honest with you, because it was so, like, in my blood, I guess.
12 versus 15 in the final. What does that say about the, you know, the depth in this class?
Yeah, well, when you get a full field and all the guys show up that can run well, it definitely gets it a little deeper. Now, I think funny car is deeper at every single race, but we have some races where, like this one, where people will come out and you'll have guys like Dakin that pull a competitive car out, and we'll pull a competitive car out. Sometimes Billy Torrance is here with one of the best cars on the property, Lagana, and once all these guys, you know, kind of get here, it's just as competitive as Funny Car, but from a full-time standpoint, it's not, so.
Where will this Wally go, along with your metal?
I don't know. I guess just on my, I just bought a new house, so I put it on my credenza that I just bought. Might have some, yeah. But my wife didn't come this weekend because she was on call, and so we both had to work.
You just blew that whole inner city thing with the credenza talk.
Yeah, dog. It's a credenza.
Thank you, Blake.